Welcome back to the Lawn Hustle. I am your host, Andy Wilson. I own and operate Professional Lawn Maintenance in Newcastle, Indiana. We have been doing a series of podcasts on Meet the Pros. We have had some great guests, some of our industry's influencers, and top quality guests. And today is no exception. We have Cornell Mack with Mack's Landscaping. He is the co-host of the Lawn Care Power Moves podcast. He is the host of On the Attack with Mack. I encourage all of my listeners to subscribe to both of these podcasts and hit the notification button so you don't miss an episode with Cornell and his co-host, Cedric. Cornell has 4,000 plus followers on Instagram, 10,000 plus subscribers on YouTube, and today we have him on our show. Thank you for joining the Lawn Hustle, Cornell.
Oh, thank you, Andy. It's an honor to be here, brother. We've been trying to set this thing up for a while now, and our schedule's finally linked up. So we're here early on a Saturday morning to come hopefully give the people what can help them to hopefully win in their life. So I'm excited to be here, Hugh. I don't know why I keep calling you Hugh. That's Hugh's Property Professional Maintenance on Instagram, so I keep confusing that with Andy. So I apologize for that, brother.
Oh, that's okay. My real name's Hugh Andrew Wilson, but I've been Andy all my life, so you can call me Hugh, you can call me Andy, but I appreciate more if you call me a friend.
Absolutely, man, and people call me Cornell, some people call me Mac, so I guess we both kind of got that thing going.
Yes, sir. Well, let me start by asking you, and you and I have been guests on other podcasts. We both are hosts of a podcast, and it seems like every podcast that I listen to, the host always asks the guest, how did you get started? I want to come at a different angle. I want to ask you, if Mack today could go back in time to Mack when he wanted to start a lawn care business, what would you tell yourself when you were trying to get started?
A couple things. Number one is that you can do it. And the reason that I feel that way is because it's human beings doing it. There's no one out here that has to jump through the sky and dunk like LeBron or throw touchdown passes like Tom Brady or, you know, hit hat tricks like Wayne Gretzky. There's no otherworldly talented people out here that sets them apart from myself or you or any other human who is out here. So I would just say, you know, you can do this because you're alive. That would be number one. Number two will be to get into a CRM and start to learn the business side of things immediately instead of trying to wait until I felt like I was making enough money to do that type of thing. You need to be professional as soon as possible. So make sure that you're an actual business owner and not just a grass cutter. At the beginning, I was just a grass cutter. So I would try to get myself to be a quote-unquote professional as soon as possible. Because when I first started out, it wasn't that I didn't see myself as a professional. I just didn't necessarily see the industry as professional. And so I would let myself know that those three things. Number one, you can do it. Number two, get into a CRM and the things that are or business, the business side of things. And then number three is just to be as professional as you can right off the beginning.
That's some good advice. I think there is a misconception about our industry. People think, oh, you cut grass, so you must not have been able to find a job anyplace else. But That's a myth, because I believe our industry has some of the greatest minds and the greatest people. And you and I just came from Equip a few weeks back. And my biggest takeaway from Equip was the camaraderie, the friendships. No one feels like they're above anyone else. You can walk up to our influencers and they'll shake your hand, they'll talk to you. And that's what I appreciate about our industry, the togetherness. What are your feelings about our industry, where we are at as a group of people that are out there cutting that grass and trying to make some cash, or as you so say, plowing that snow and making the dough? What are your thoughts on our industry?
I love it. I feel like lucky and blessed that I found the green industry, and that, like you said, it is so welcoming, and there's so many great people who are really brilliant and chose to do what they're doing. Some people were pushed into it out of necessity. Maybe they had a struggle in their background and they couldn't get a job or whatever. But here in our industry, it doesn't matter where you came from. It don't matter what you look like. It don't matter if you're a man or a woman or what you believe in. You can be successful. And there's so many people who are out here that want to help you to be successful. A lot of it is for free. Some you got to pay for. But I really just enjoy the entire atmosphere that the green industry is. I come from a sports background. Not that I ever made it to the professional leagues or anything like that, but I grew up just playing sports. And so my life has always, that's how I see the world, through a sporting eyes, I guess. So competition-wise, and that doesn't necessarily mean competition, me versus you, Andy, or me versus the next person who's mowing grass in my neighborhood. It is the healthy competition of, you're doing great, Andy. What are you doing that is helping you to do that, so maybe I can implement it into what I do? It's a lot like sports. So for me, I would go to different basketball courts, different football fields, and you would learn different things from different people, and then you would put those things into your game. Because if it worked for them, it may work for you. And it might not. There's a lot of things that you don't do, but you got trial and error, and you get to see living examples of how people are doing it. And they might be I live in Pennsylvania. You live where you live. People live in Florida, Texas. I had a guy reach out to me from Ghana. So our community is enormous, and it's very, very vast for anyone to come into it. And that's why I enjoy it so much, because I always say to people, I always wanted to be an athlete, didn't get to, so I use my imagination to make it so what I'm doing is athletics to me, right? And when you look at all of the professional sports leagues, they're all a league, and then each league has individual franchises. And that's what we are. When we go to Equip Expo, that's really where the league is. That's the NFL, the MLB, the NHL, the professional soccer. That's where it is. But all these different franchises from all over the country and even the world. Now, I met a guy from Australia last year and this year. Nathan's Lawn and Garden was there this year. But this other kid from Australia or somewhere over there last year, he came here. So we got all of these individual franchise owners, or if you want to call us athletes, players, they all come to this one league, and we all play in the league of the green industry. And what do you see in the professional leagues? They do trades. There's people copying off one team, copying off another team's plays. One GM calling another GM to ask a question about a player, like we do about clients. There's so many similarities to it. So when I came to the industry, I just felt super blessed that I was lucky enough that I chose this. Because there's a lot of other industries that come, they watch my live shows. I had a lock picking guy on there. We got regular people who just enjoy the show. And one of the things they say the most is they wish that their industry was like ours. Mm-hmm. People were trying to help instead of trying to hold the information to themselves as if we can't figure it out on our own through Google, like the internet's in everybody's pocket. So for me, the welcoming atmosphere and the helpful atmosphere of the quote unquote influencers, like you say, but then the regular people who don't even care about social media, they come to Equip Expo or to a lab event to see equipment or to meet, you know, people or whatever. It's just an overall amazing atmosphere, and I would encourage any person who's out there to get into the green industry, because you don't necessarily have to only cut grass. You could do landscaping, you can do roof and house cleanings, you can just do lawn treatments. Like, there's so many. You can only do snow removal. I know some people who only do snow removal. Like, so there's so many different ways for you to be successful that there's no glass ceilings placed upon you unless you place them upon yourself. Whereas when I was at a job or whatever, it wasn't like that. And there was people who wanted to keep you down so that they could continue to rise to their highest level of the glass ceiling of their job or whatever. But here in our green industry, there is none of that, and there's no one really trying to limit you. So everyone wants to help, it seems. There's some people who are out there who may have a different experience. But for me, my experience has been just nothing but being a blessing in this community that we have.
That is so good. I appreciate that answer. And it is true, we are stronger together. The Bible says that a three-chord string is not easily broken, which simply means when I'm with you or I'm with whoever it is in the industry and we're together, we're stronger, we're better, because iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So let me ask you this. As I watch the Lawn Care Power Moves live show, you are a motivational speaker. You are an encourager. But what encourages you, or who encourages you, and what motivates you to keep doing what you do?
So I get encouragement from a lot of places. I start my day every morning. I listen to a speaker. I don't consider myself a motivational speaker. I just say what's on my heart. But I do things to help to stay in that positive mind frame. And I stop listening to music, pretty much all types of music, because it's people just living their dream. And we're listening to it or we're watching it, right? I want to live my dream. Mm-hmm. So there's that. I forgot the question. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I just ask, what motivates you and who inspires you? Because the On the Attack with Mac podcast and the Lawn Care Power Moves podcast is motivational for me. It's dark, it's nighttime when the Lawn Care Power Moves show is over. But after listening to it, I wish it was daytime, because I'm ready to get out there and hustle and get to work. That's what you and your show does for me. So if it does it for me, I know it's doing it for hundreds of other people.
I gotcha. Yeah, so that actually is what inspires me to do it, is whenever I did have a regular job, people would say that to me, like, you're a motivational speaker. Like, you make me feel like I want to run through the wall. When I first did my first ever podcast appearance was on Fullerton Unfiltered with Brian. And then when we got off, he was like, dude, you got me hyped up. And then he started to encourage me to do it along with Cedric and some other folks. But that's really what inspires me, is the fact that I know I'm not special, but I'm doing this. And so if I could just show and then talk about it and it inspires someone else, that's what inspires me. So whenever Cedric and I first started Lawn Care Power Moves, before On the Attack with Mac was even a thought in my mind, it was that one person was watching us. the first show that we did, which before it was even a show or a podcast, there was one person that was watching, and I was like, oh my goodness. I was so excited by that, and I wish I could remember who they were, but it was just, and they watched, we talked for an hour, they watched a whole hour, and I was like, in my life, I played sports, I was inspired by Michael Jordan and the athletes when I was young, the popular athletes of the world, Michael Jordan being the biggest one. And he inspired me, like you just said, I inspired you. And I know for a fact that Michael Jordan was inspiring millions of other little boys and girls around the world. I thought that that was the only way that you could have an impact, was to be someone who was on a stage like that, like Michael Jordan, or like, you know, Martin Luther King, or someone who was just super popular like that. And I always wanted to have that same impact on people. I thought I had to do it through being a sports athlete. And then when I realized that wasn't going to happen for me, I thought it was being a coach, like a sports coach for high school or something, because I felt like I didn't really reach my fullest potential because my coach really didn't. He didn't really care. He was older guy. So it is what it is. I ain't blaming him. That was my young self talking, right? As I got older, I started to see people doing podcasts and YouTube and things like that, and they inspired me. So they inspired me, and I felt like I need to repay that back, because I wouldn't have knew about the green industry being what it is if it wasn't for these people who were making these videos. So I decided I wanted to do it too, and to my surprise, I mean, the first YouTube video that I put out got like 12,000 views right off the rip, and people were saying, you know, thank you and whatever. And then I created a couple more videos, and then like my fifth or sixth video went viral and got like 170,000 views. And it was really just me telling the story of what motivates me, which I'll get to here in a second because you asked that too. But it was that video, and then I didn't really know what I was doing, but that video went crazy for like 3 months straight. It was just every day. It was getting like 2,000 views, 3,000 views. And my subscribers, I got like 4,000 or 5,000 subscribers off that one video. And it was literally, that video was going around, I want to say, to mostly men in their early 20s to early 60s. And it was really touching on their heartstrings, I guess. And so they started to reach out. And all that did was make me want to do it more, because I knew it was having an impact that I thought that I needed to be an athlete to have. So what inspires me is really just the people of our community, and the new people who are on the fence, who see me, or they hear you, or they see Paul or Brian or Keith or someone else, and they think, hey, I could do that. I want to help them to actually believe that they can do that, because I was them. So that's what inspires me, is to help other people to unlock their brains to a new frame of thinking, that I could really be anything that I want, and the only thing stopping me is me. As for what motivates me, it is my wife, my three kids. It's simple and plain. I don't need to add nothing else to that. My wife has literally changed my life. Like, without this woman, I would still be living in an apartment, you know, paying rent. I'd have been a career renter. But because I got this woman, I also would have been a career worker, because I don't know if I didn't have her who believe in me, if I would have believed in myself enough to be like, all right, I'm going to really do this. But when I told my wife what my idea was, she was like, yeah. And she started giving me ideas on how to accomplish what my goal was. And she was so, like, had my back so much that it just lit a fire in my deep down in my heart and soul, to where, like, I'm not that I can't fail, but I'm not going to fail. I'm not even going to allow it, because she believed in me, and I want to prove her right.
Yes, sir.
I want to prove myself right. I want to prove her right. And then I look at my children. I got a son who enjoys doing this. He works with me when he's here. I got two young daughters, a 13-year-old and a 5-year-old. When I look at my 13-year-old, I'm like, pretty soon she's going to be 18. And what kind of man do I want her to be with? What kind of man do I want her to be around? I want her to be around someone who's like me.
Right.
Who's going to treat her right, who's going to work his ass off, who's going to have a vision for a positive and good and abundant future. That's what I want her to have. And the only way she's going to want that for herself is if she sees that in her father.
Absolutely.
Now, my youngest daughter, my five-year-old, she's the princess of our family, but she only knows Dad as the person who never had a real job. She only knows me as this person. My other daughter, I missed a lot of the beginning of her life because I was always working two full-time jobs. So I don't want to go back to missing those things. I get to live all of this stuff with my five-year-old. I get to be at every parent-teacher conference. I get to be there if she comes home and she has a bad day to either chastise or console, you know, to build her back up when she's having a down day. She gets three kisses every day before school and every night before bed, that she's brave, she's strong, and she's powerful. Two cheeks for brave and strong, and the most important one is powerful, and that's on the head. This is the motivation for me every single day, is them. Because, again, if you're a husband and you ain't going after your dreams, in my personal opinion, your family ain't going to get to where it needs to get to. Your wife ain't going to see you the way she needs to see you. Your kids ain't going to believe in you the way they need to believe in you. And then what happens? I don't know. Maybe if your wife don't see you as she needs to see you, then she going to see someone else that way. Maybe if your kids don't see you as the hero in their story, that they're going to look to someone else right. to be the hero in their story. Now, there's some people out there that are promoting some stuff that would I want my kids to watch, listen, want to be that? No. But I want them to be like me.
Yes, sir.
And so that's what motivates me. I'm sorry for the long-winded answer, but that's just me. I talk a lot.
That's all right. Our listeners needed to hear that answer. It reminds me when my daughter was a little girl. I came home from work one day, took my boots off, took a shower and was relaxing in my recliner. And I look over across the living room and my daughter is walking in my boots. And she was stumbling and falling because obviously they were too big for her. And the thought came through my mind as I was sitting there, and I'll never forget this. I said, God help me live a life that my daughter would never be embarrassed if she could find out where those boots walk. I don't want to walk into places or into circumstances or situations that would bring embarrassment to my daughter. And when I saw her just playing in my boots, that's the thought that came to my mind. My wife and I have been married for 35 years. We have two children. They're both adults. My wife was only 6 months pregnant when her placenta abrupted, and she had to be delivered early. They told us that our son would probably not survive. He weighed 1 pound and 13 ounces when he was born. We watched his fingers and toes develop in an incubator. That's how small he was. But he survived. He has some physical problems because of the early birth. But I want to live a life that my son would be proud of me, that my daughter would be proud of me, that my wife would support and be proud of me. So I appreciate you bringing in the family into our conversation, because I feel like if your family's not on board, what's the use in trying to work so hard and do everything that we do to make a living? If our family's not on board with us, what are we working for? That's priority. So let me ask you this question. since we're talking about family, how do you balance your personal life and your family life with your professional commitments and professional life?
So I do what is I like to call stress-free lawn care. And that's not to say that there's no stress in us owning a business and, you know, we might have a rain day and now we can't get to these yards. But what that means is I do not overdo it. So I only work Monday through Friday. I have my schedule built to go that way. And very rarely, unless it rains or something like that, do I work on a weekend. That's basically how we do it. We're home by 5 o'clock. Again, I know some guys go out there and maybe if they're younger or maybe you're older, and I don't know what people's circumstances are or why they do what they do. I can only speak on why I do what I do. And so whenever I was working my regular jobs, I was working 2 full-time jobs. So I would get up at 6 in the morning, go, well, not 6 o'clock. I had to be at work at 6. So I'd get up at 5 in the morning, be out the door, wife and kids sleep. Then I would go work that job from 6 to 2 p.m. On Monday and Tuesday, I would work 6 a.m. till 10 p.m. at one job. Then on Wednesday, I would work 6 a.m. till 2 p.m. at that job, leave from there, go to another job of similar, like a similar job, but to a different company, and I would work 3 to 11. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday was all 16-hour doubles. Then Thursday at the second job, I worked every Thursday from 7 to 11 p.m. So 4 doubles in a row. Then on Friday, I would work 3 to 11. And then alternated every other week. I would work 3 to 11 and be off. And then work Saturday morning, 7 to 3. And then Sunday, 3 to 11. And then the opposite weekend of that, I would work Friday night, 3 to 11, and then 11 to 7, be off at 7 a.m. in the morning, and then have to be back at work at 3 o'clock to finish out my shift, and then I would be off on Sunday. So I was working 13 straight days with 5 doubles every week for 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So whenever I got into this, I was like, I'm not doing that. Whenever I get to a point to where I could be full time, I'm not going to be out here working till it gets dark out here, because I was missing my family. Again, when I'm leaving in the morning before anyone wakes up, and I get home at night, my kids are sleeping, my wife is tired. So it was like there was no life family balance, and I was working for someone else's dream. It's one thing. You know what? It's one thing if you are working till it gets dark for your own self, for your own dreams, and for where you want to go in your life. It's a whole nother thing whenever you're doing that for someone else's dream.
Absolutely.
And so I was doing that for someone else's dream. And the cool thing something I said earlier is I realized that these people that own the company that I was working for were regular people. And they were nice. It was 2 ladies, one for each company. The owners were 2 ladies, and they were both wonderful women who inspired me a lot, and they helped me to believe I could own a business too, because I was like, hold on, this ain't no person I see on TV. I know this lady, and she's nice.
Yeah.
Like, I could own this. This is my daughter, my baby. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And then the camera followed her. Look
at that. That's what's important right there.
Yeah. But, so when I seen that, I was like, all right, I mean, I can do this too. I want to do this, this business thing as well, but I don't want to be killing myself and miss my entire family. This is why I want to start a business in the first place. So I got started, and then I'll quit one job. When I first started, I was working 2 full-time jobs and then mowing grass on Saturdays. And then if it rained on a Saturday, I wouldn't be able to do nothing. In one particular month, it rained every Saturday for the month. I only had a push mower. So now I'm coming back with a 143cc push mower trying to cut grass that's past my knee. That's taking forever, and I got to do it for 7 yards, 8 yards at the time. Like, this ain't going to work. But when I finally quit the one job because I got my stuff together, I started to gain clients and everything, I eventually quit the one job, and then I was doing what I said I didn't want to do, which was work till 9 o'clock. You know, then I get home, I'm tired, everyone's asleep, whatever. I made a decision that what's the most important thing? I ain't doing this to cut grass, to be an influencer on the internet or anything. I'm doing this because I want to be home with my family as much as I possibly can.
Right.
And so I'm not going to set myself up or Captain Jack to be gone all damn day and missing the thing that we're even doing this for. Because no one is out here just cutting grass. Some people might be cutting grass just because they like it, Eddie. I ain't going to speak for other people. But I ain't just cutting grass because I love to cut grass.
Right.
I'm cutting grass so I can make some cash.
That's right.
Because I love to be with my family.
Yes, sir.
So the work-life balance thing is you just got to make a choice. Do you want money or do you want your family if you have one? Now, if you're a young person and you're 19, 20, I don't care. Even if you got a girlfriend, who cares? Go out there and get it done. But when you're 40 years old, you're 30 years old, you're 28 years old, you got a wife and you got kids, I'm not saying don't go out there and kill it, but do make sure that you make it a priority to be with your wife, to be around your kids, because if you ain't with your wife, someone else might be, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Say it that way, but, you know, make them the priority. This business is just business.
Right. Well, it's amazing how similar our stories are so far, because I felt the same way. My wife would be the one taking our kids to birthday parties or to family picnics, and every event, someone would ask her, "Where's Andy?" And it was always the same answer: "He's working." And she would come home and tell me, "You know, so and so asked about you. Your mom wanted to know where you were today." And that started haunting me in my mind. I'm missing all of my nieces and nephews' birthdays. I'm missing family picnics, time that I could spend with my brothers and my sisters and my mother. I'm missing all of that because I'm trying to build a life, but I'm getting so busy trying to build that life that I'm not living life. I'm just working. And so now, I won't start a new project or a new job at 5 o'clock. If I get done with one, say it's a mowing job at 4:45, I'm done for the day. I'm not going to start another job because it's going to push me past that 5 p.m. and that's my cutoff, because I want to get home. I want to have a family meal, sit down together, talk. We pray for each other. My wife's a school teacher. I want to ask her about her day. You know, what happened in your classroom today? And those are some things that are like your daughter coming into your podcast room there. That's what's important. Those little interruptions are awesome. I love that. And the only thing that would have been better is she'd have just crawled up on your lap and just gave you a big hug. Because that would just be a confirmation of what you've said about your family. You wanting to be with them and them wanting to be with you. That's what's important. Well, let me ask you this, a question outside of work. What is your hobby? What do you like to do outside of work?
What do I like to do outside of work? So, up until this fall, I would play flag football. I played in one league. There's a couple flag football leagues in my area. One is like a major one, and it's a little further away from my house. But there was one that was like a 10, 15 minute drive from my house. So I would play in that with my best friend Brian and, you know, seven of our other friends, and we won the championship in the spring, so we were looking forward to playing again here in the fall, but unfortunately, there wasn't enough teams that signed up, and so we didn't play in the fall, and so I didn't have anything to do, actually, but my passion now has become doing social media stuff to help other people. And it gives me the most, I think the most joy outside of being with my family is doing this stuff. Is, you know, whether it's my own shows, whether it's coming onto a different podcast, or just being in the DMs and talking to people and helping them out. Maybe they say thank you to me, or I inspired them. A lot of people just reach out, hey Mac, I wanted to say thank you for the content that you make, and that has really lit a fire under me to make me want to continue to do the social media and to continue to do the podcast and the things like that. Because if you help enough people get what they want, you can have anything that you want. That's a quote that I heard before. And I've been watching some new things and learning from some new people. And I believe that the internet is the way that we can all get our time back. We talk a lot in, you know, our industry about route density and all of these different things that help us get our time back. But for me to make money in my lawn care business, I have to be on the lawnmower, or someone else has to be on the lawnmower for me to be able to make money there. So I want to learn how to do this stuff, and not to necessarily monetize the audience and the people who are believing in me, but to get some deals from brands that I already work with. I'm not going to mention any of them, but there's some things that I know now that people are making money. And if you can make money off of an endorsement deal like a professional athlete, why wouldn't we do that?
Right.
You know, so I found a new passion in the content creation that can help more people. And that's kind of what I do now. That's outside of work. I don't really consider it work, even though it is a lot of work to come up with an idea, to carry a show for an hour, and I'm doing two of them, to create videos and edit them. I do everything myself, but it's fun. For the first time in my life, I made the decision to do what I want to do, rather than a school teacher telling me or a counselor saying, hey, you shouldn't cut grass. I didn't even have that. It ain't like a guidance counselor told me I couldn't make it. But there's all this different stuff that you can do now that maybe if college wasn't for you because you got ADHD like me, but you talk a lot because of ADHD, that you can use that skill because it's not a detriment like I used to think it was. It's actually a skill. And so I'm trying to learn how to hone these skills now of editing, content creation, description writing, that type of stuff, to be able to have an impact on people, to help them out. That's all.
Well, your content is fire. It's really good. And I appreciate it. When I started my podcast in February, I was so intimidated because of my voice, obviously. But I had to come to grips with, this is me. This is who I am. I can't change it. They took half of my larynx because of throat cancer. I have one vocal cord and half of a voice box because of cancer. But I refuse to let cancer define me, because that's not who I am. I'm the survivor. I'm the victor. I overcame it. So I jumped in. I was afraid that people wouldn't want to be on my show. And in this series, Meet the Pros, I've had Naylor Taliaferro. I've had Paul Jameson. I've had John Pajak. I've had Mike Andes. He's an interesting guy. He was in medical college to be a brain surgeon.
And quit.
To start a lawn care business.
Yes.
That tells me that we do have some of the brightest minds and the smartest people in our industry. But I'm not saying that to try to build myself up. I'm saying that because even though I was intimidated and thought no one wanted to be on my show. I've had people reaching out to me to get on my show. And it just, it shows the camaraderie. It shows the friendliness of our industry. People wanting to come on to a man's show that talks raspy, that survived cancer, that might not be the biggest and the largest, but I'm trying to make an impact and be an influence on somebody's life. And everyone that's come on my show has said, we applaud you for doing what you're doing and making a podcast in spite of cancer. So I appreciate you so much coming on my show. You're a family man, I think, number one. You're a good businessman, number two. And you are impacting lives because you have impacted my life. And Tony Rudolph, when I was on his podcast, he said, when I meet a friend, they're a friend for life. So, Mac, you're stuck with me now. When we meet and we become friends, we're friends for life. And I appreciate you coming on my show. I want to be mindful of your time. I know it's Saturday and family day. And I think it's been a good podcast. I think we have offered our listeners some good, solid advice on how to prioritize their life, prioritize their family, and prioritize their business. So I appreciate you. Thank you for coming on my show. And I hope we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, anytime, bro. I'm always down. And I'm happy that you started your show too. Because what I say to anyone who asks me is, we are all unique. You having the voice that you have makes you unique. And it's going to make the show more unique. And the unique shows are the ones that do well. The people who are different from the others, who are trying to do things in a slightly different way, because we're all just reinventing the wheel. And we need as many people out here who have a teaching heart, who have a giving heart, who have charitable hearts, to be doing things like this, because there's so many people who are out here that are making hateful content. They're making hater comments. They're out here being trolls. And it's okay if you want to be that way. That's fine by me. But I prefer to help people over harm people. I don't want to have any person come to me, and this happened once, but to have a bad experience if they've interacted with me. Now, it's taken me a while to get to this, and as I've gotten older, I've gotten better. But one time in particular, I was playing in a flag football game, and this guy didn't really know the rules. They did a handoff. You can't do that in the flag football game that we play. And we just let him go and run, and he thought he scored a touchdown, and then he started talking stuff, and I said, you got to learn the rules, dumb H. dumb ASS, whatever. And he just kept staring at me. The guy would not stop looking at me for the rest of the game. We destroyed this team. But after the game, I looked at him because he was still looking at me. So I go over, I said, what's going on, bro? Why are you staring at me like this? And he literally was about to break down in tears. And someone in his younger years used to call him a dumb butt all the time. And it hit him. Like, that hit him. Like, that really hurt his feelings. And then when I seen how his reaction was, it hurt my feelings that I caused that to him. And I made a choice that day that I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to leave or do something. You don't always know. You know what I mean? What's going to trigger someone? But if I have the option to not hurt someone's feelings, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take the option to not hurt someone's feelings.
Right.
And so it really means a lot to me that we are out here doing a positive thing and that people start things. And when you hit me up and was wondering if you should do this. And I'm like, yes, you should do this because you don't know who you're going to help. There's some cancer survivors that are out here right now that need to be inspired. Maybe their voice is like yours too, but guess what? Your voice is now the coolest voice to me. Because now every time I hear you, Andy, all I hear is, I'm Batman. And I think that's cool. You might need to get you a shirt that says that or something, because I think that your voice is even better now. And I didn't even get to hear it before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think you got a wonderful voice, and I'm happy that you created a podcast so that that voice can be heard. So you keep doing what you're doing, because I'm honored to be on your show, and I'm honored to call you a friend for life as well. And you keep it up, brother.
Well, I appreciate that so much. It means the world to me. When I started working with Grasshopper Mowers as a ambassador for them, the guy in charge of their social media, when he first hit me up, I said, now I need to explain my voice. So I told him my story. He said, don't worry about that. Your voice is beautiful. So it was an honor that they took me on in spite of this. And it's an honor that you're on my show in spite of this. So I appreciate you. I'm going to let you enjoy your family today. And Cornell, I'm here. I'm a text away if you need anything. I'm just a message away if you need anything. And I feel the same with you. If I need you, you're there. I know that.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate that. And we're going to get together again, and we're going to do another show. I would like to maybe do one with you and Cedric as the Lawn Care Power Moves. And just have a three-way conversation. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
So, well, you have a great day, and I'm going to say what you always say on your Lawn Care Power Moves. I wish you nothing but success.
I appreciate it, man.
Hey, someone's got to be the best in your city. It might as well be you.
Well, that's what I say too, bro. Because if I walk up on that porch and I want the yard, best believe I'm probably going to get that thing, because I could talk pretty well.
Yes.
If anyone wants to get in touch with me, you can hit me up at mac_landscaping412 on Instagram. I also have the two shows. We do live shows on Monday for On the Attack with Mac. It's co-streamed on YouTube and Instagram. And then I do Lawn Care Power Moves with my boy Cedric on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. Those both come out on podcast. My podcast On the Attack with Mac, I think I'm doing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday releases now. So we've upped the game a little bit there. And then the YouTube channel, Mac Landscaping and Lawn Care on YouTube, where we do some videos and the podcast. I think I'm going to take my podcasts off of that. I don't know. We'll see. But I appreciate you, Hugh/Andy/Batman.
All right. Well, thank you. And we will talk again soon. I'll see you Wednesday night on your show. And I'll be tuning in, listening. And I appreciate all you do for our industry. Until we talk again, God bless you. And God is good all the time.
Yes, he is.
Recording stopped.